Well, you know, I was talking with Mark earlier, and I have to tell you that you don't have to talk to him for more than 5 minutes before you start you feel like you're his best friend. Like, you feel like he's so invested in you. You're like, wow, can we be best friends? And he would say, yeah, let's do that. And I said, you know, how do you want me to introduce you? And I've got this whole sheet here with like this long list of really cool things. And he's like, eh, I don't care about all that. He said, let's just get at it. But you know that Mark is a big movie producer, Paramount Pictures in Hollywood. His movie Lost in Space at the time kind of overcame Titanic for the biggest thing that was going at the time. And we could go on and on about his movie Black Dog and The Perfect Game, the true story of the 1957 Little League World Series, all movies that we're familiar with that have been powerful. But more than that, what you're going to hear tonight, and we're going to show a video, and Mark's going to talk a little bit more about that too, is a life that was going in all the wrong directions that then God took, grabbed hold of, and moved in a new direction, which is for his purposes. And so we are grateful for what God has done in his life and how he wants to use Mark in our lives here tonight. So Mark, come on up, give Mark a warm welcome, and we want to hear from Mark tonight.
I'll just jump off here. Yeah, we're going to do it like this. Are we going to play a video first, I think? Because if we don't play this video, it's a testimony, then I'll be up here for 40 minutes trying to explain what this four-minute video will tell you. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly of my Hollywood stuff. Do we have where we can play that? All right, let's do it. I'm going to come back down again. Should I just... You got good insurance, right? I got a bad back here. Okay. I always had a dream of becoming a film producer. My job was to find projects or develop stuff that hasn't been done. Lost in Space got financed. It was a $90 million movie. I remember sitting there and the whole gang saying, here's $92 million. Go make your movie. I dabbled in drugs. I was continually fighting with my wife. My marriage was a mess. I was a mess. I had Blake at the time, and Blake is from my first marriage.
Early on in my childhood, my dad wasn't there. He wasn't living with us. You know, my parents were divorced. It was just me and my mom. And it was almost like having a dad that just traveled a lot.
Lost in Space came out, knocked Titanic out of first, set a box office record as the highest April opening ever. 2 weeks goes by after that. The buzz is over. Meanwhile, I'm not even living at home at the time. I'm separated from my wife because she's had enough. I got an ego the size of Manhattan. I'm partying like crazy. I'm on the highway to self-destruction, and my life is a mess. And I remember sitting there in that house all by myself, and it felt like God was pulling on me. Look at my life. And I remember the presence of God kind of like going, lost in space. You're lost in space. I decided to go to church the next morning. Everything you could possibly think of in my life went bad 3 months after I accepted Christ as my Savior. Lawsuits came. We lost everything.
He went from being a big Hollywood movie producer, having millions of dollars and a mansion, all these cars, to nothing.
I remember a pastor was promoting at the church that we're all going to get the men's group together. So we loaded the buses up, and we headed to Orlando for the Promise Keepers event.
God is the leader. We are designed to follow God.
Promise Keepers really hit me. It starts at my home. I need to become a real man of God, a humble man of God, a servant leader man of God, a loving man of God. That 800-square-foot apartment was more of a home than that 7,000-square-foot house ever was, because I was in the process of being changed.
When I saw that transformation in my dad's life, it had a dramatic impact on my life.
God laid on my heart, I want you to give me your first hour every day. And that's when my book, The First Hour, came. And I got up at 5:55 in the morning, every morning, and did the half hour prayer and did the first hour book. And it was life changing to me.
I've learned through his life changing and for him to tell me how important it is to put God first, to start the day in prayer. My son reads every single night a little kid's Bible before he goes to bed. And I love the fact when he comes down the stairs in the morning, he sees me there reading my Bible in my office, and he comes and sits in my lap, because I know he'll remember those times when he's a grown man and when it's his time to lead his family.
So many men out there that are losing their families, they're losing their wife, they're breaking that commitment. I'm more in love with my wife now than I've been the day I met her. I just thank God for saving me.
I don't have my identity in being a NASCAR driver. My identity is being a Christ follower and a great husband and a great father. But I promise you, if my dad did not change directions and start following Jesus at the time he did, that would have been completely different.
The things that I did, and the drugs and the partying and the lifestyle I was living, there is no way, if my dad was alive, I'd have went through any of that. He'd have flew there and dragged me out of there in a second. My life has been completely restored. My marriage is restored. My relationship with my children are great. I believe wholeheartedly, if you heal the man, he can heal the family, and the family can heal the nation.
All right. Oh. You don't got that on film, do you? Me crawling up and going sideways on the thing, I hope. You know, I look at that testimony in two things. It really helped me out with my wife, because you saw me crying there. Everybody's like, cry baby, but I'm more in love with my wife than I've ever been now, into tears. That went a long way, you know. I mean, our wives like to see that there is some sensitivity to us and some sensitive side. And the other thing that I look at is that I know that if you heal the man, he can heal the family can heal the nation. My family's living proof, and I love it when my son says, I know if my dad wouldn't have got transformed by God, that I probably wouldn't have. And it's a fact. Come on, we're all guys. This is going to be we're going to have some fun tonight here, okay? Because we're going to be raw and real. This is all men in this room. And my son would have been a NASCAR driver, but he'd been driving for Jack Daniels and Hooters. Not I Am Second and Compassion International. He follows. Our kids watch everything that we do as dad. I want to be like dad. Matter of fact, there's some older guys in here like me. I'll be 63 soon, but I'm 63 going on 90, okay? I don't look like the pastor here. He told me his age, and I'm like, man, he lived the good life. I wish I would have got saved way earlier, you know? But remember the old commercial with the smoke and the cigarettes? Where's a little kid in the tree, and the dad was smoking. He picked it up and wanted to smoke. Our children watch everything that we do as men. And I believe with all my heart, A, lives are going to be transformed here tonight. The Holy Spirit is going to show up tonight. I know it because I've already had attacks left and right. I call him Junior because I picture him about this high, okay? And the enemy is Junior, and the reason I call him Junior is he's a joy robber. And joy is the most amazing thing. That's the biggest blessing in the world, let's face it, joy. And I was telling the pastor earlier, it seems like the Holy Spirit always wakes me up like at 3:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning. Anybody ever realize that? Maybe it's because it's the only time he can get, you can see I have a little bit of energy, and not even on a Monster Energy. I'm not allowed to drink that at home, okay? I get up in the morning, my wife sees me go for a Monster, I'm done. But the Holy Spirit always seems to wake me up at that certain time of the night where it's calm and there's no distractions. And just speaks to me, and it's always like an acronym. So I got all these acronyms. I was showing him one. I'm going to share it with you later, but one is joy. The enemy comes to what? To steal our joy. And what is joy? And I wrote it down. I got like this Holy Spirit board, joy. I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? Joy. Joy is the presence of Jesus overwhelming you. And when we got Jesus Christ in our life, nothing can steal our joy. Every single day, I refuse to let anything steal my joy. Now, I'll get a second or two, but then I just re-armor up, put a new helmet on, and say, no, I don't know if I'm going to be here or not. I'm going to enjoy every single day. and be the man that God designed me to be the husband he designed me to be the father he designed me to be, and I'm going to live every single day filled with joy. That's the way you beat the enemy. Be happy. So I am going to share some stuff with you. First of all, on the testimony, I'll give you a couple things that the film didn't show you. I had an ego the size of Manhattan. I thought I was all that. And I'll never forget it. I was separated with my wife at the time. And I was actually living at Mar-a-Lago, you know, the Trump summer home. And I say I was the second sucker to give Trump, I don't know, whatever the price was. I was the second member there. Separated from my wife. Thought I was all that. My life was a mess. I was a mess. And I remember driving down Okeechobee Boulevard. That's in Palm Beach. And I had two films up there at the same time. Lost in Space, Black Dog. As I was separated, I remember driving by that road, and even back then they had those suction cups. You know what I'm talking about? Where they take, it's not digital like today, and they take, I saw them taking Lost in Space down, Black Dog. And I realized my dream came true. All this has been my dream all my life, to make a number one movie. It came true. But look at me. I had money. I decided which car to drive that day. Going home to the big house, which I'm now thrown out of. My wife's had enough. And it was that night, because we all remember it. You guys probably all remember the day you got saved. The day that Jesus Christ came into your life, grabbed your hand, and transformed you. I'll never forget it. I was sitting, just like it showed in that movie. And it's like the Holy Spirit showed up saying, lost in space. You're lost in space. Look at you, Mr. Big Shot. You got a beautiful wife at home. You got three small children. I think they're 2, 4, and 6, whatever. You've got another son that needs you. Look at you. And it's like the presence of God hit me. And isn't it? It's great how God. See, for many are called, but few are chosen. And I was telling your pastor, when you're chosen, you can run, but you can't hide. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. And I remember sitting there. I get a knock at the door at Mar-a-Lago. And it was my wife's best friend's husband, who I've barely never met. And he's actually in the book. The only thing you guys are going to have to read tonight is the crazy 8 pages, how God woke me up every single morning at 5:55 a.m. Guys, like clockwork. I could go a half hour on that. I didn't have to set the alarm, nothing. Boom, 5:55. And over my mind, give me your first hour. Give me 30 minutes of prayer and 30 minutes of reading my word. And Mark Cook, I'm going to rock your world. And my world needed rocking. So he shows up and says, do you believe in God? I said, well, of course I believe in God. I'm a Catholic. I graduated from Gabriel Richard. You know, meanwhile, I'm partying the night before and doing all the things. I'm a Catholic. Of course I believe in God. And he invited me to church. He said, I want you to go to church with me. I don't even know why I'm here, but you're losing the best thing. I think he threw a Bible at me and your wife. And it was just amazing. I showed up in church, and then I'll move on here. I'll never forget it. Walking in. You know, guys, there's demons. And I was full of them. They're strongholds. They're real. I didn't want to be in there. It's like my spirit was willing, but my flesh was so weak. But I just went in there. I'll never forget sitting like in the fourth row. And I walk in, and 4 seats down is my wife. I'm going, oh, no. And I've probably been up all night partying the night before. I was ready. And that song came out. And you know how the same way the enemy uses music to dement our youth and our kids, the Holy Spirit uses music, doesn't he? To really just, I listen to so much Christian music now. He can really get to your spirit through music. And that song came on. I promised my wife I wouldn't sing it. I think I did it on one of these national shows. And I can't sing, man. It was like, Lord, I give you my... I was like, don't ever do that again. But that song, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for loving you. And I just started to weep. I had a lump in my throat. It wasn't the size of a golf ball. It was like a softball. I figured, I'm dying in church. I couldn't breathe. And I wanted to cry so bad. I wanted to bawl my eyes out. But the pride, the spirit and pride was so thick in me. And my wife's there. So, of course, what do I do? Like any other man would do, grab a tissue and pretend I got an itch in my eye, you know? And then out comes the pastor, Tom Mullins, Christ Fellowship, ex-football coach. big guy, reminded me of my dad. And I'll never forget it. He's like, if you think you can sit there and live in sin without consequences, you're wrong. Obedience equals blessings. Disobedience equals discipline. And you better get a grip. And looked right at me. I'm kind of like, oh, okay. And then at the end, they had the altar call. I went up there. And my legs were shaking, you know. And I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Wash me with your blood. Cleanse me. Mold me. Change me. Forgive me. Make me the man you want me to be. I give you my life. And see, guys, I really meant that. And I had everything that the world and the enemy could offer you, the cars, the money, the house, not so much the fame because I'm behind the scenes, okay? And I was empty. I was hurting. All my worldly dreams came true. I was a mess. I was truly lost in space. Gave my life to Christ. Bam, there you go. And then, of course, all heck broke loose. Because then the Holy Spirit plow had to come in. Some of you guys maybe can relate to this. Okay, Mark Cook. And I know, I look at him now, I can see Jesus smiling at me. Okay, he meant this. He's sincere. Get him. But you're going to have to strip him of everything he's got. Similar to Job, not quite that. Don't give him the sores. Okay? Because as long as Mark Cook has money, we ain't ever going to get his full attention. And we went, like it said, from an 8,000 square foot house where it was to an 800 square foot apartment, losing all the cars, nothing, rolling quarters to feed the kids. But I was happy. There was something inside me. I got that sin out of me. There's people in this room right now that are living in some kind of a sin. Odds are you are. You are. And it's that battle up, down. But you're here tonight. You're here tonight. So I believe what I'm going to share with you is going to transform your life. There's going to be three keys I'm going to talk about that just completely transformed my life. Okay. The enemy and demons, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, I call him Junior. A lot of pastors do not want to give him any stage time. Well, we don't want to talk about that. It's all this and all that. 33% was of Jesus' ministry was casting out demons. Seven of the miracles were casting out demons. What, do you think they're gone? Demons are real. They're real. The difference is we have authority over them. And what I'm going to share with you tonight, I've taken authority, and the enemy doesn't come near my house. He can't. He can't. And we'll get to that in a minute. It's going to change your life. I'm excited about it because I've seen so many guys that do these three the keys that I'm going to give you. They're like, man, I'm changed. And I said, you got your armor on? It's all about the armor of God. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand up to everything the enemy throws your way. Which means if you don't put your armor on, you can't. And I have a saying called armor up or get slaughtered. You're not going to be able to take the authority over him unless you're fully armored up. That'd be like a Navy SEALs going to break into Iraq and stuff, and some surprise happened. They all jump out of bed early, and they run out the door and forget their gun and their helmet and everything else. They're done. They're done. I'm going to tell you something. My foot does not hit the bedroom floor without putting the full armor of God on every single morning for the last 15 years. Not once. Not once. My wife will tell you. Why? Because I'm scared to death to go out that door without being prepared for battle. I'm done. I missed it 15 years ago, and we don't have enough time tonight to tell you what happened, but my wife threw me out again. And I was doing so good for a year. And some of you guys are like that. Man, you're walking in obedience. The blessings are happening. You got peace, and you fall. And then you get disciplined. We have a God that disciplines. It got to my point, it was like so obvious. I was doing so good for 6 months, and I'm just going to have one vodka tonic. I fall. Bam! The next day, I'd lose a contract. Bam! There'd be arguing at the house, the marriage, everything else. Obedience equals blessings. Disobedience equals discipline. You know what happened? I finally got tired of getting grounded. Because as the time went on, it's like, I just took your keys for 6 months. You fall again to do the your little Hollywood lifestyle and this and that. Now I got to ground you for 3 years. I've learned that the blessings that are awaiting you guys are unparalleled from anything you've ever experienced when you really strive to be obedient. So the enemy is real. Here's what I don't like. God gave the enemy authority over the airways. What's his name? The Prince of the Air. What's the air, guys? Internet, media, film, radio, music. He is the enemy of the air. And God's like, Lord, why'd you do that? God gave him even the title, Prince of the Air, and gave him authority over the airways. You know, a single movie can change a teen's life forever. Forever. A single two-hour movie can change a teen's life forever, either for the good or for the bad. He's the Prince of the Air. He has authority over the air. Good news, we have authority over him. You can squanch him. A lot of people tell me, you really shouldn't be talking and calling the enemy on. Well, I'm armored up. It's like, see you later. And if you're going to cuss, curse at him. You're in a battle. There's a battle for your brain. There's a battle for your mind. There's only two ways. Your thoughts are only coming from two sources. The Holy Spirit or the enemy? Period. Sure, we got free will, but those thoughts are only coming good or bad. And when you put that armor on, it's going to radically change you. 1 Peter 5:8 says what? The enemy travels around like a roaring lion looking to somebody to devour. Has anybody in this room been getting devoured? Maybe it's a stronghold of alcohol, pornography. I had to actually check this out to make sure it's true. That 70% right now in the world, 70% of the internet traffic, which by the way, I heard runs through Loudoun on a big switch. 70% of the internet traffic right now is on some kind of pornographic, whether soft porn or hard porn, right now. 7 out of 10 people are on some kind of pornography. They're not going to Amazon to shop like my wife does. And your wives? Divide and conquer, roaring lion. But we have authority. Here you go. I am going to share with you. Let's talk a little bit. I want to back up a second. The enemy is in full blitz mode. There's never been a time like this. What is the enemy's tactics? What have always been his tactics? Divide and conquer. He comes to kill, destroy, deceive. Divide and conquer. He's doing a pretty good job, isn't he? And it's so clear. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood or Democrats or Republicans, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Our struggle is truly, we are battling an adversary. Forget bin Laden and everything else. We are battling an adversary right now that we've never seen before, and he's in full blitz mode to divide and conquer. The racism. All this, it's just, I could go on and on. We know what's happening. It's time we stand up and we take our authority back. And here you go. You guys are going to get this book. There is no coincidence as I look at this. None. To give you an idea, I never had any intention of doing a 30-day men's devotional. I did this 15 years ago. It's like, yeah, I think I'm going to do a men's devotional, Pastor. I didn't think I've read the whole Bible. I didn't read any of it by the time I did this. It's that God woke me up when I truly and sincerely asked him, change me, mold me, make me the man you want me to be. And I woke up at 5:55 and said, give me your first hour. Tithe your time. Tithe your time. You know, if it's so important that we tithe the first fruits of our income to our church, then you better. Or you're a thief. I think it's just as important to God that we tithe the first fruits of our time. He's our Father. And there's something really powerful about the first hour, guys. very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. We want to be like Jesus. There's something special about the first hour. It's going to radically transform your life. It will. But as I look back, I remember when this first came out, I tried to go back to sleep. And it's like over and over in my mind, that's how the Holy Spirit works you. Get up, go give me your first hour. 30 minutes of prayer, 30 minutes of reading my word. I'm a baby Christian 15 years ago. I finally couldn't go back to sleep. I got up. I said, okay, 30 minutes of prayer. What the heck am I going to pray for 30 minutes? I mean, I can do it. I can ask for anything I need in five. 5 minutes is a long time to pray. I'll never forget it going upstairs. And the reason I'm sharing this with you, I want you to understand, this is a divine book. Mark Cook didn't write anything. The prayers aren't even mine. They're from Jermaine Copeland, prayers that avail much. I remember going upstairs, and on my desk, which you can tell I'm a little ADD maybe, I had scripts everywhere, and I walked up at 5:55 a.m. My desk is cleaned off. I'm like, oh, my wife just decided to do a little organizational skills for me. And the only thing on my desk was a book called Prayers That Avail Much. And I go, huh, this thick. I looked in the index. I go, okay, I could do this. I'm going to start looking through the index, the prayers I think I might need. And 30 minutes, Lord. And these 18 prayers were all in a different order. Okay? And they ended up being in perfect order. We have a God of perfect order. Let me tell you about the first three prayers. Think about this. The enemy's in full tilt. We are in a war. How do we prepare for this battle as men? It's the first three prayers in this book. Okay? War. Wash. Every morning, the prayer in here is asking for forgiveness and repentance. Wash yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ every morning. There's going to be some mornings, and I've had quite a few mornings like this. I'm saying this humbly, where, Lord, I can't think of anything that is a direct sin, but if there's anything that I've done to sin against you, wash me with your blood. Cover it. A sin that I might not even be aware of. Cleanse me. Thank you, Jesus, for the fresh start. He gives every single one of you guys. You guys been on the internet last night, the night before, okay? You get a chance to wash it, cleanse it. The second prayer, putting on the armor of God. I'm not going to go through the whole thing like I usually do because you guys are all getting a book. But in the armor, it says, I know that my mind is the number one target of Satan's lustful, deceiving, lying, cheating, anxiety-filled, joy-robbing ways. So I cover my mind with the powerful helmet of salvation. I cover my mind with a second helmet. I put a third and fourth in each hip. Make all of my thoughts agreeable to your will, your plans, your purposes, Lord. You know why I do four? You guys all need four. Because in the beginning, when you're really facing this battle, 10 o'clock, we're all guys in here, 10 o'clock, you're at Shell pumping the gas, and I call him one of Satan's SOSs, Seductress of Satan. You got this beautiful blonde next to you. Hi, how are you this morning? You know, on our way to the gym. Boom, helmet's gone. Repent it, cover it, put another helmet. The helmet of salvation will change your life. This prayer will change your life. So, war. First three prayers, wash yourself each morning, first thing, with the blood of Jesus Christ, repent. Second prayer, A, armor. Third prayer, R, refill. It's the third prayer in this book, a refilling of the Holy Spirit. War, wash, armor, refill. That's how you guys prepare for battle. It's going to change your prayer life, I promise you. I promise you it will. I don't even get out of bed for it. Heavenly Father, says in your word, how much more will you give the Holy Spirit to those who ask you? I ask you now in the name of Jesus to give me a fresh refilling of your Holy Spirit. Even above Elijah, I want a triple anointing. I ask for a triple anointing. He hasn't given it to me yet, but you know, I'm going to keep asking, okay? I keep asking. And I got, so here's the thing. Think about this. First thing in the morning, you're cleansed. You've covered your sins with the blood. You're fully armored up. And you got a fresh refilling of the Holy Spirit. Now you're ready to pray. Now God hears your prayers. hears your prayers. Not only are you standing righteous through Christ at that time, you're sinless. You got no sin. None. And you know what else is in the book? I'll tell you, I can't write. I look back at this 15 years ago, I go, I didn't even write that. What would I say that? It's because you guys, anybody that's not freshly repented that has any sin in their life right now, any sin, if some kind of emergency happened, you got to call, oh my God, pray for so-and-so, pray. And you got on your knees and bawled your eyes out because life-threatening and prayed. He doesn't hear you. If there's any sin in your life, his ears are closed. His face is turned. And I got it in the first 8 pages. It says, Isaiah 59, it's because of your iniquities and sin that I've turned my face. And one version says, I cannot hear. The other version says, I will not hear. You can pray all you want. He doesn't hear you. Do you understand that these 3 prayers are a game changer in your prayer life? Because if you wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to do the first hour, but you forget the first prayer about washing and repenting and covering your sins with the blood, pray all you want. You're wasting your time. Guys, I came all the way from Nashville Reason. I promise you. I call this 3 keys to powerful, effective prayer. That's kind of cool. Pep, P-E-P. Put some pep in your prayer life. It's going to change your life. A lot of you guys are praying. And God's not only is he not listening, he can't hear you. He chooses not to hear you. It's a game changer. There's nothing that's going to rob me of my joy. Nothing. Nothing. With the armor up and the salvation, I mean, sure, we get challenges and the beatings, and the bigger the purpose, the greater the battle. But I just kind of laugh it off. Like, I love Steve Berg says, IDMA, IDMA, IDMA. IDMA. It doesn't matter anyway. I just heard today that a brother of mine, we lost August 8th, I think it was. I don't know if he went to this church or not. What a mighty man of God. And I look at all the people that I've lost in the last 3 years, my entertainment attorney, my ex-film producing partner, 54, left an 8-month-old baby girl. Man, all these people that God's been taking home, some saved, some not. Life is too short to worry about anything. And I'll leave that to your pastor on a sermon, but for why worry about tomorrow? We don't know when we leave this place if it's our last time. So let's take each day, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But don't you want your prayer life to be powerful? And you know, it's gonna reflect your sin life. You're not gonna, man, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not gonna want to sin. But when you're sitting there and you have something unrepented sin in your life, you're in trouble. Okay, we got that. The book also, as I look back at it, it's just crazy. The good news, guys, is it's not a book that you read. It's only the crazy 8 pages in the beginning. There's 7 simple steps, and this is something I did. And I said, okay, well, I'm supposed to read the Word of God now. Half hour of reading the Word, what do? I took my New Testament. It said, mine at the time had 240 pages. I calculated 240 divided by 30. That's only 8 pages a day. If I read 4 pages of the New Testament, front and back, I've read the entire New Testament in 30 days. Wow, I did it. Had time left over. I said, well, what am I going to do now? Well, Proverbs, there's 30 Proverbs. Now, you know I wasn't writing a devotional. I didn't find out there was 31 until day 30. Okay? And then it says, I'm going to work out, return home at the same time. Ah, here's the big one. Time with children, half hour minimum and bedtime prayer. Time with wife, 1 hour minimum and bedtime prayer. Guys, if you're having problems and marital problems, there's not a better marriage book in the world than the first hour. I'll say it again. You could get all the other ones you want. Okay? If there's intimacy problems, whatever it might be, it's because you're not giving her the time. And I know it for a fact because it was always my wife's fault. That's why we got separated so many times. I bring her a new Rolex. I give this girl everything. She's so spoiled. I mean, I can't even believe it. I give her the world. Meanwhile, look at the life that I'm living. It wasn't my wife. It was me. All she wants, she didn't want a new car. She didn't want another house. She wanted my time. I'm telling you, the best, trust me, Okay. You guys have all seen the Pink Panther, right? You guys know the Pink Panther? Okay. I've had guys say, come in like, man, there's no intimacy in our marriage, and I don't know what to do. My wife, I can't please her, no matter what. They're about on week three of the first hour, and they come in, they're like, dude, I feel like Cato, man. I got to walk in my house and say, Angie, where are you? She's attacking me, man. She's like, this thing's like, wow, dude. And the whole men's group was just cracking up, you know, because she saw him honoring God, tithing his time, getting on, going into his prayer room, spending a real hour, his first hour with God. That was a turn on. She goes, whoa. He goes, now nothing happened the first week or probably even the second because she probably thought I was going to quit. But week three, man, it was like, I got to go spend time with my wife, you know. It's a game changer. We need to step up and be the men that God designed us to be, godly men, fathers, husbands. And you know what? Keep your eye on your own wife and love her and respect her, okay? And it is a game changer. So this whole book, because I've got a little bit of time here, not much, and we're going to get some question and answers. There's another thing I'm looking, Pastor. I'm looking at this going, the mission statement. If you heal the man, he will heal his family. The family will heal the nation. It's 15 years ago I did this. I don't even think I voted 15 years ago. Seriously? But yet I wrote, okay, heal the man. How do we heal the man? We rise up a million men to make a commitment to give their first fruits to God every morning, to be the man and the husband and the father. Boom, heal the man. They will automatically heal their family, like you saw in my video, my grandson and my son. And then in here it says, heal the nation. How do we heal the nation? I just read this again, and I'll tell you, it's thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't write this. I can't even write like this. And how do we heal the nation? We rise up. The first hour army, we got about 300,000 strong now. We want to get a million. We've given away almost 300,000 of these books. We rise up, the first hour army, and have them commit to do their patriotic duty and vote. And vote in every single election. I don't think there's any coincidence that it says right in here, vote in every single election, regardless of their political views, and vote for the politicians and candidates that share the same godly principles that we do, and value the Constitution that this great nation was founded on. Okay? And it says right here, the very first thing, vote in every single election from the county school boards. It's the first thing I mentioned 15 years ago. Boy, am I in the right city here in Loudoun. Woo! Okay? I'm like, thank you, Jesus. It says from the county school boards to the judges, to the mayor, to the governors, all the way up to the presidential election. We got to vote. We got to vote out the crooked politicians and vote in the politicians that share the same principles that we do. It can change. Imagine if we would have had a first hour army here 5 years ago, a couple hundred thousand as we're going to try to do, and they all voted. You wouldn't have the school board problems you're having right now. They'd be men of God and women of God in there. We need to get them out and put them in and quit complaining about it and rise up and do our patriotic duty and vote. We can turn this nation around. So heal the man, heal the family, heal the nation. Closing. I also get, hey, the pastor, could you throw me up those shirts? I told you I'm going to share with you a couple things here. I got a nice little clock here, two timer I got now, so I don't go over. I rattle up here all night with you guys. But I know there's some guys in here right now that are struggling with something. I feel it. And I don't know what it is, whether it's an extramarital affair, could be something that devastating, whether it's a lust problem, whether it's some kind of addiction. I know there's men in here. I can tell you that Jesus Christ completely set me free of the addictions, of lust. I don't even look at another woman. And people would never believe that. They say, Mark Cook's a Christian? I was a wild man. And the blessing of peace, of being obedient, being filled with joy, you can't, no money, no house, nothing in the world is going to bless you like joy. Jesus overwhelming you when you're standing in obedience. It's just a game changer. Okay, two things. So God always wakes me up with those acronyms I told you, three letters. One was ERA. Okay, we're so busy working on our IRA. How's your ERA? Your eternal retirement account. What are you sending ahead? And that's what the first hour is. This whole program was, we give one book away for free, and the guys that do this course, it's funny, Rich DeVos did the forward, the founder of Amway. He's like, give the first book away free, and when it changed your life, have them buy four and give them to four friends, two unsaved and two people that are already saved, to get the momentum going. It's just like MLM, multi-level ministry. It's worked. So we do it where, because we're non-profit, we do it where guys buy one and they get three free, and they make that commitment when they've gone through the 30 days to give it to two guys. Hey, Brother John, I know you're already saved, but this is a game changer, man. These first three prayers are going to change your life. I'd like to give this to you as a gift. Okay? And then two people you know are struggling. And man, if they're not saved, guarantee you they got marriage problems. Say, hey, John, I know you're having problems in your marriage and in my business, but there's a prayer on page 123 for your wife and marriage. I just felt like giving you this as a gift. Nobody's ever said no. We need to do our job and start building our ERA and start turning this country around and sharing the blessings that God's given to us as well. So that's ERA. The second one was, check this out. He woke me up at like 4 a.m. Bam, now, 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 now. And like, Lord, I'm exhausted, man. I've been running hard all day. Now what? Jesus, now. I understand that. Tried to go back to sleep just like when I first did this book. Nope, get up. And I have a Holy Spirit board. And I always write the stuff downwards, like ERA. What are you saying? Oh, eternal retirement account. Build it. Because life is short and your kids are going to blow your IRA anyway. What do you got up there? There's rewards up there. What do you got up there? So now I think every book I give away is like a cinder block. I'm building a big one. I'm going to get one of those programs where I can start designing it with the blocks, you know? So then it's like, now, now. What are you talking about? I got up, wrote N-O-W, now. What are you trying to tell me, Lord? No, Jesus now, no other way, USA. So a lot of times I think, I must have heard that somewhere, and then I Google it, and I didn't, so I trademarked it, okay? But check this out. Jesus now, no other way, okay? And I want to get these out to the youth, and the youth would like, hold yours up so they can see what that one looks like. The youth's going to like this one. Look, it says now in the front and the check out the back. It doesn't say Jesus on it. It's just a big, that's the front, and then there's a back. Bam. And we're going to start giving, well, I'm giving like 40 out to a youth group in Nashville and saying, where are these people? Jesus now. No other way, USA. There's no other way. There is no other way. So, 3 minutes over. I can't wait to go to some of these youth groups. I think it's because I want to get one of those cannons. You know what I'm saying? How you go like that? Boom. You know the cannons? Go out like that, over that way. And that, it probably won't fit you. It doesn't matter. Oh, it's gone. So, guys, the book's there for you. I'll be out there to chat a little bit. Thanks for letting me go over a little bit on time. I'm here to answer questions. And I want to end it in prayer myself. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I ask you just to cover each and every man in this church right now with your precious blood. And right now, guys, if there's any sin in your life at all, now's the time to ask for forgiveness. Father God, cleanse us with your blood. Wash us clean. Give us a fresh start tonight, right now. It says not only will you forgive, you'll forget. So, Father, I ask you to touch. Holy Spirit, that give them a triple refilling of your Holy Spirit right now. Fill their hearts. Change their lives. Touch them. Use them. They're here for a reason, Lord. So, Father, I thank you. I ask you to bless their families. And, Lord, send warring angels down. We're ready to have Jesus now, no other way, USA, kick in. We're willing to fight all the way. We want to run the race hard. So bless these precious brothers of mine in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay.
Amen. We give Mark a hand. Thank you. All right. Well, I'd like to ask the first question is, like, will you partner with me to give me, like, three-letter, you know, acrostics for my sermons coming up, you know, down the road? Like, I'll give you a call.
I got so many. DNA. divine natural assignment. You know, what's your DNA? You got a spirit. I'm only going, I got them all. Oh, here's a good one. Put your hat on. I promise you guys, 3:30 morning. I want you to part. I'm really proud of you, son. You've been giving me your hour religiously. But I need you to start putting your hat on every morning. How do you know it's the Holy Spirit? Because I don't wear a hat. I used to get teased. You will never see Mark Cook in a ball cap, nothing. Never. So I wrote, hat. What are you trying to tell me? I want you, after your prayer time, I want you to be humble, authentic, and truthful in all that you say and do. I said, well, God, I'm humble. I mean, I live in a tent, you know? I believe I'm authentic, truthful. I'm really not lying. And that started bothering me. And there's a whole other testimony about that because I ended up misleading my wife on something so stupid that she asked me if I put a certain thing in her coffee. I said, of course I did. And the Holy Spirit's like, truthful, huh? The little white lies. So now, living truly, dealing truly, speaking truly. I put my hat on every morning. Be humble, authentic, and true. It feels good to be good, guys.
All right, well, if anybody has any questions or want to interact with Mark, step up to the microphones are at the front. They're on, ready to go.
Oh, somebody's got a question. I know they do. That's a man of courage. That's what I'm talking about. Okay, you're not going to put me on the spot, man. All right, no. Where's the mic? There's one right there.
Bible says in Romans 7, I think it's 24, 25, the Apostle Paul says, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death, but thanks be to Jesus. I don't remember exactly. But you're saying that if I'm sinning, that he's not hearing me. I think I got that right. Is that right?
Yeah, there's plenty of Isaiah 59. For my arm is not too... it's right in there. For my arm is not, too long, I can hear you. However, it's because of your iniquities and your sin that I've hidden my face and I will not hear.
But I've... I've accepted him as my savior.
Sure.
The guy who... basically covers me. I tell him that and ask him for forgiveness every day. I'm always going to be a sinner until the day I die.
Your salvation's covered. What I'm talking about is your everyday, you're praying for something specific. Like, Lord, my sons, God bless him. You know, I know he's dabbling in drugs. Lord, heal my, anytime you're praying for something, you with me?
Then I must be missing something because I've always believed after I've trusted in him that bottom line is that I'm a forgiven man, righteous not by my own sake. But
you're 100% you're forgiven. You're absolutely correct.
Then you'll forgive me because I'm missing something.
No, you're not. I think this is what you're missing. We're saved by grace. That's why my testimony is lost in space, saved by grace. What I'm saying is if you want to live the abundant life filled with joy, filled with happiness, filled with peace down here, you're saved. You're saved. You got eternity waiting for you. No tears, all good. But if you want to live a joyful life down here, you can't live in sin. When you sin, you need to wash it, repent, and ask for forgiveness. That one time, if you ask for, Lord, forgive me for my sins, doesn't mean you can go out and go downtown and end up in a strip club, and next thing you know, call girls, whatever, this and that. You're doing all this stuff like, oh, I'm saved anyway. I think there's a huge problem with this grace issue, okay? Because we also have a God that disciplines. My point is, it's very clear, maybe your pastor can tell you better on this, but if you are praying with sin in your life, it clearly says he's not going to listen. Some say he won't hear. The NIV says, I will not listen. So he's not listening to you. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but... I got to tell you something, brother. Here's what I'll tell you. I love this question, by the way. I like what you're saying. Because when I first started doing it, I've been doing it 15 years, I always had something every morning. Lord, forgive me for the fourth glass of wine. Forgive me for this thought. Forgive me for this or that. I'm telling you that over a period of the years, as I made a true commitment to follow him and to strive for obedience, there's been many days. This morning, Heavenly Father, I cover anything and everything that I might not even be aware of. I'm just washing myself in the blood every morning just in case there's something. You will see such a transition in your, if there's an, especially stronghold, if there's an addiction, you can, Lord, get this addiction out of my body. I don't want to be like this anymore. If you're praying that prayer and you got sin in your life, he's not listening. But guess what? Even tonight, right now you can cover it. If you're struggling with something, right now you can say, Lord, cleanse me with your precious blood. I know I'm a sinner, but specifically forgive me. Instead of prayer, forgive me for the sin of pornography, adultery, whatever. Wash me clean of that. Boom. You're always going to be righteous through Christ. But now you're not only righteous, you're sinless. And again, I'm not a pastor because I always made a deal with guys that that's one thing I'm going to fight you with till you take me home. I do not want to pastor a church. Okay? But I hope that answered it. But I, you know.
I must be missing something.
Okay, well. Can I jump in here? Sure, please. Hey, this is. These are the healthy stuff that we need to talk about.
I think that what you're missing is that there's a difference between being a sinner and living in sin, right? So I think what Mark is saying is there's the daily struggle. But if I'm living with unconfessed sin, if I'm living with... If I have something going on that is in the moment, not from a salvation standpoint, but from a it's getting in the way of my relationship with God right now standpoint because I haven't come clean with him on that, then he really can't hear. Then what Mark is saying is God
prayer
can't
blocker.
Hear me on that.
In other words, confess your sins and
you will be forgiven. So I'm always struggling Romans 7, yes. But that doesn't mean that I'm not confessed up in the moment for what I need to be doing right now with God in prayer. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Thank you, Pastor. You're right on. I mean, yeah, when I read 59, I went, ooh. You know, and listen, here's the good news. I can assure you it's from the Holy Spirit, because I surely didn't write that thing. And when it says war, wash armor, just like the armor of God. If you guys really think you can beat the enemy without your armor on, good luck. If David fell, a man after God's heart, like no one else, and looked over at Bathsheba like, and you know she's a Victoria's Secret model. I mean, come on. What the enemy will use. If David sinned, what makes you think that you're not vulnerable? But let me tell you something. The armor has changed my life. I got these little armor of God things here. I've got my grandson and daughter now. They play the game. So I'll go after them and go, armor of God. And that's like their protection. I think so many people are missing the armor, the weapon that God gives us. Because it's right here. Anything else? There you go. It's going to be an easy one.
I think so.
Mark. Is this a pastoral question or a Mark Cook question?
It's a father-son question.
Okay.
First of all, I'm going to confess my sin of loving hats, baseball caps, so forgive me of that.
Okay.
But in all seriousness, you know, you talked extensively about your relationship with your wife, which is awesome. But could you talk a little bit more about your relationship with your son through your salvation experience and up to today?
Yeah. I tell you, thank you, because I miss that. And a lot of times I don't cover so many different things. I covered a lot. I'll focus on one thing like heal the man, but I just go with the Holy Spirit, leave Mark in the car. My relationship with my kids are beyond blessings. I'm beyond blessed to see how they're walking. My daughter started a faith-based clothing thing called Heart to Heart. She's 26. My son, Blake, obviously, when he was driving NASCAR, he now started a business with Dale Earnhardt Jr. called Filter Time. If you guys got air conditioning filters, I'm going to give him a plug here. Every 3 months, they get shipped automatically to your house, less than Home Depot. And he started that, so he'll probably get back into racing. But every time he was racing, him, Trevor Bain, they called the God Squad. And they'd be like, when they race Daytona, they'd be at Calvary Chapel giving their testimonies, preaching the gospel. They just follow you. I speak to all of my kids, I would say, daily, even though he's in North Carolina, and at the minimum twice a week if I'm out doing things, but all of them today. Come on. Hey, my other kids in college, hey, Carson, how you doing? Love you, man. Just want to say, can I pray for you? I pray with him a lot. I pray with him all the time. My daughter will call me, Dad, would you pray for this and pray for that with me? They're such a respect. They have such a respect for me because they know what a wild man I was. And I just thank God and Jesus all the time that he straightened me out before they were old enough to really know, especially my daughter. It's like, Dad, you were sketchy, you know? And are we still filming or no? Oh, we are? Okay, I won't say it. Because I used to mention names, you know, I'd say, my two best friends were so-and-so and so-and-so. And they're like, whoa, okay? That just gives my whole testimony of who I was hanging with in Hollywood, the A-leaguers. And I don't have to say anything else, okay? Because I'll tell you, I was living in major sin. Major sin. And listen, I straight up, man, I was doing cocaine from high school all the way up till, 16 years ago? But I never had a problem with it because I was just a weekend warrior. I'd always show up for work on Monday looking like something the cat drug in. It'd take me Monday and Tuesday just to be able to get my head clear. And then on Wednesday, I say, I'm never doing that again, man. Whew. Come Friday, nice deal comes through. Oh, I have one little vodka tonic. Next thing you know, it's a line, this and that. I was a seriously functioning cocaine, okay, addict for 35 years. Boom! God supernaturally healed me from that. Not the NA meetings, not these meetings. I walked out of a 30-day rehab in 2 weeks. Walked out of it. Because I was sitting at the crossroads at night. I said, Lord, this already I got saved. I already got saved. And I said, mold me, change me, use me. And I got dramatically walked. He goes, you're never going to make it. You're grandiose and stuff. That was 16 years ago. That never, bam, gone out of my life. Now, that doesn't happen for a lot of people. But that's why I owe Christ my life. I owe my life. He changed me. Yep.
Thanks for coming out, Mark. My name's Zach. My question is, I'm going to start with an assumption, and that assumption is that you have seen some of the other people or some other people that you knew from your time when you lived in sin that were also in deep sin that have come to know the Lord,
yep,
either through your work or through the work of the Lord or through other people. I'm curious to see what were the other ways that the Lord used to reach those people, because you kind of told your story, but how did you see other people that were living so deeply in sin reached by the Lord? What did he use to do that?
What do other people use?
What did the Lord use to reach other people that were in such a scenario like you, where they were living in just really, really deep sin and that permeated every aspect of their life?
How did they get reached? I mean,
how did they reach?
Exactly. Listen, church, somebody, it takes somebody, outreach. It takes a brother that knows a friend that we all know married guys that maybe aren't living right, okay? It takes a brother that has a real heart for God and to be man enough to say, hey, man, I'd like you to come to Promise Keepers, worked a lot of stuff. Hey, man, I'd like you to come to church meeting. We got this guest speaker, something like that. But just out and inviting them, okay? I'm the worst probably at bringing people to Christ. As far as, like, if pastor said to me, hey, I got this guy, you know, he's living in sin, he's doing this and that, and man, let's go see if you can go get him saved. I'm just not even comfortable, even with the sinner's prayer. Of course, I do it when I'm asked, of course. But for me, to boy, like that one guy that goes after the Ten Commandments, he's a street preacher. I forget his name, but are you a sinner? If you die today, are you going to heaven or hell? Like, this is not my calling. My calling more is to just share what God did for me to say, he really changed me. It's sincere. And nobody would ever, ever believe. If you guys all knew me in the past, you would never believe. And it's been 15 years of going through of this refining process. And of course, the gentleman that asked me before, I'm still getting refined on certain things, but they're different struggles. Mine now is Amazon. Like, Lord, get me off that. I want to buy this and a new mic and a new phone. There's always something, but it's not websites or anything else or any other stuff. So there's always going to be something that we're going to be battling with. But I think when you're really walking in obedience, anyway, hope that answers your question. I'll tell you the truth, Christian music to me is powerful. Man, the Holy, and when I give my first hour now, guys, I don't do this continually over and over. I do all my prayers. I pray for my family. You know, this is God's 30-day boot camp. Get you in the habit, checking the list off to make a price. Now what I do, I don't miss it. I'll never miss my armor. Put it on before my foot hits the bed. If my house starts on fire, two things. I'm going to burn to death, or I'm going to do the quickest armor where I put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, armor of God. Okay? I'd rather burn to death than go out knowing he's got seven of his buddies waiting for me. Okay? I'm not going to go without my armor. That's a game changer for me. That was a game changer for me. And I believe I've seen it be a game changer for other people. The battle's right here, man. There's a battle for your brain, thoughts. But music. Yeah.
Hey, Mark, thanks for being here. My question was, how did God change the way that you worked in the industry after you were saved? In the film industry in particular, and how do you navigate doing, some of the things that you're gifted at and using your talents, but in a way that's obedient to God?
That's a great question. Let me tell you something. I just got back into it last year, okay? I've been doing ministry. I was managing my son's NASCAR career, getting him sponsors, doing all that, saying, I said, I will never make another movie as long as I live. You'll see some old testimonies. I've been so used to preaching, speaking at Promise Keepers events, speaking at any men's event I can get to. And let me tell you something. I don't even sell the book here and stuff like this. I always pay my own way. They say, hey, we'll send you airfare. Hey, if you want to pay for the hotel, great, but I fly my... I'm out because I owe Jesus Christ my life, and I'm working on my ERA. That satisfies my flesh, like, another one that, but I said, I'll never do another movie again. And once again, God woke me up a year ago, 4 a.m. What are you afraid of? And it was like that. I got approached to do a film with these two gentlemen, solid Christian guys. What are you afraid of? This is your calling. I didn't give you those credits back then. You're lost in space. Now you're saved by grace. What are you afraid of? I said, I don't have it in me. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me. You know, God loves to reveal himself and just talk with you. Guys, in the morning, man, I got conversations. I mean, if I really got serious, some people might baker act me, neighbors. I'm saying, Lord, I'm talking to him. It's like, what are you afraid of? I'll tell you what you're afraid of. You don't have a fear of failing. You got a fear of falling. And the enemy is trying to block you from your DNA, your divine natural assignment as well, by making films that can radically transform people's lives, okay? And you're afraid of falling because the enemy's telling you, you've been up there preaching like, God pulled me out of the muck of Hollywood into the light of his precious son. So if I'm preaching all the time, thank you, Jesus, for pulling me out of that cesspool. Why in the flesh would I ever say, I'm going to go back and make movies? Like, no way, man. It'd be like being an alcoholic and go be a bartender. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no. And it's crazy. It's a whole other testimony. God said, you have a fear of falling. You're not going to fall because you're going to make movies for my glory this time. And you're going to use it as a witnessing tool. Now go. And I signed a deal probably a week and a half, 2 weeks earlier. Any of you guys ever heard of the Benham brothers, Jason and David Benham? You know, the twins? Okay, do not repeat that. I'm doing a movie with those guys. And their dad's got quite a story as well. Flip Benham, who brought James B. Rowe to Christ, baptized in a pool. But they have a book out called Miracle in Shreveport, a baseball movie. And at first I said, I'll never do another movie. And surely not going to be a baseball movie because I did The Perfect Game. It's my last movie. Okay? Never say never. So I'm in the process of doing that right now. But I'm going to surround myself with the right people. It's not going to be, you know, some of the Christian filmmakers are like, is he a Christian? The director's good. The woman, the actress that played Mary in The Passion of the Christ was an ordained Jew that, like, synagogue. She's not even a believer. You can't have the aspect think, I'm only going to do movies with Christians. Because A, you ain't going to get the talent. B, it's a great witnessing time. Because on my sets, just set the example and don't compromise for nothing. But I'm back in the business, yeah.
Right. So I sort of had a vested interest in that part of that question. I have a son that's studying film history in the film industry, and he's actually he's in Hollywood this fall. So I guess the follow-up question is just, are there organizations or people within the industry, Christians, that...
Huge, man. Hollywood Bible Study. Yeah. Huge, man. I'd be more than happy to give you some of that information. Get your card. There's some great... Abigail Spencer, she's an actress friend of mine. Josh, there's a lot of great Christian... a lot of them are closet Christians as well. You know, they're not out preaching it, giving their testimonies, because they'll work. You know, Mark Wahlberg never misses Mass. He goes to church every morning at 6 a.m. Never misses it. But I got to be careful. I'm on tape again like that. So I know him because he sponsored my son's NASCAR with Aqua Hydrate. I used to be Catholic, too. It's interesting. Catholics can drink and cuss and stuff like that, too, okay? You're not going to publicize that. So I hope that answered your question. Yeah, but I love to give you... Hollywood Bible Study is a big one. That's the one Justin Bieber got saved at. Yes, sir.
Okay, you talked about the armor of God. And I've heard a long time ago, Charles Stanley talked about how he puts on the armor of God every day before he gets out of bed. Do you have a practical approach to putting it on every day? How do you actually do that?
Dude, let me tell you something. You guys want to get a kick out of this. So I was in the I had a condo on the water. This is embarrassing, okay? I get radical, man. You know, I'm just so in love with the Lord. He saved my life. Nothing's going to steal my joy, man. It's just not, you know? And I think it was about 4:30 in the morning, and we live in the condo on the Intercoastal, and right probably from here to that wall there, we're on the third floor, and the living room windows are here. And then there's another building about from here to that wall, and the window's in there. And, man, I got up, and I'm in my tidy whiteies, you know, okay? Not the boxers, with black socks on. You can't make this stuff up, okay? You can't make it up. And I'm getting some juice, something like in the living room, and we have the shades, but they're shades, and they're kind of vertical this way. Anyways, I'm like, say... I get into it, and I say, Heavenly Father, okay, you provided all that I need to defend myself from Satan and his punk demons. I put on the belt of truth. Thank you that Satan cannot stand against the bold use of truth. Next, I put on the breastplate of righteousness, and I embrace that right, and I go through that. He must flee. Then, man, I'm sitting there in the way, I go, and I put up the shield of faith against all the blazing missiles. Don't forget, I'm in my underwear with black socks, okay? A shield of faith against all the blazing missiles Satan fires at me. I know that you, Jesus, are my shield. Lastly, but not leastly, I go, okay? And I go just like that. I got in the kitchen, I go, no way, man. So I knelt down on my ground, go this way, went, look up, sure as heck, Mrs. Copeland's looking out the window. I go, oh, my God. So I seen her down in the garage about a week later, tried to avoid her for a long time, you know. She goes, hi, Mark. I go, hey, Mrs. Coppola. I'm surprised she didn't bake rack me. And I go, how are you doing? And I made a habit to talk to her. And I said, hey, I just want to let you know, okay. How did I say it? I said something about I put on the armor of God or something like this. I just want to let you know if I'm ever noisy over there yelling like I'm in a battle or fight, I'm just doing my prayers. And she goes, oh, that's so precious, because she's a Christian woman, you know, but she sees me doing the spear and stuff. I literally, I dress myself, man. I'm bold, man. And I said, and Heavenly Father, I put on the boots of peace. I put on the boots of peace, and I claim the peace of God through justification. I receive the peace of God that touches my emotion, feelings, through prayer and sanctification. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for filling all my thoughts with perfect peace. Today. Nothing's going to steal my joy. And I have a few choice words for the punk, okay? So you must flee. I can spread the blood around, you know. He's got no, we have authority over him. You can wear him out. And the problem is, you start armoring up, and all of a sudden you got a kink in your armor, like they said. you're done. Happened to me. I went on a massive, doing the armor God every year, missed one day, went on a massive three-day bender. Why did I do this? It's a whole story. Got slaughtered. Never missed since. Everybody's battles are different. I think there's a calling on my life for certain things. I'm saying that humbly. I'm not real happy about it, because one of the big things, I ended up getting a tattoo. It says Ephesians 6:11. That's another thing I said. There is no way I'm ever getting a tattoo. 60th birthday, my lovely daughter. Dad, let's get a tat for your 60th birthday. I said, it'll be a cool thing in hell I ever get a tat. Nada. And by the way, it's biblical. No. Our lady goes, Daddy, what do you do every single morning before your foot hits the bed? I go, put on the armor of God. And she pulls it up and she shows me this, like the writing, Ephesians 6:11. She goes, wouldn't it be cool to have Ephesians 6:11? I go, you know? Huh. And they drive me down to the tat shop on my 60th birthday. So I guess that's a better mark than the other one supposedly is going to be coming up, you know? I'm just all about the armor. I believe we're in a war, man, and I got the sword, the shield, the helmet, all of it. Here's what I say. Try it. I think you guys, I'm telling you, man, those first three prayers, I'm telling you, just give it a shot, and you'll be saying, wow, there's an anointing going to come down on you. Anything else? I'm wearing myself out up here. Thing is, I want you guys to pray for, if you would, too. I was really stressed out. My brother here seen me earlier. You know, the enemy is completely attacking our youth with these opioid problems, you know. And my wife's best friend, Christian kid, he went to King's Academy with my kids, 26. His name's Bo. I really want you to pray for him. His mom is my wife's best friend from Florida. They threw him out of the house before, massively addicted to opioids and the Xanax and all the other stuff that comes along with it. And my wife, of course, said, you need to send him up to Mark. His dad's a high-powered attorney in Palm Beach, giving up on him. Dad gave up on him. And I said, Stephanie, man, I'm not an intervener. I got a lot going on. Holy Spirit saying, you take that young man and you show an example of the power of prayer and the power of God and the power of transformation. Because let me tell you something. This kid could probably outsell Mark Cook, and I was a pretty good salesman in my younger days. Always number one selling Christmas cards door to door, you know. You find a lot of addicts, and a lot of the ones that Satan tries to block are the ones that could be most effective, like taking this now movement, I want to do another way movement for the youth. And so he came up a month ago. I had him in this hotel, an extended stay. And see, I'm a professional. I never even knew it. It's like, dude. I said, you're going to tell him? He goes, I promise I didn't do that. I go, dude, I've been staring out peepholes like you have. I had to get cataract surgery from staring out peepholes for 16 hours at a time in Beverly Hills Hilton. You know what I mean? You can't fool me. You're jacked. No, I'm not. I just miss it. You know, so I was really good. But I also at the point where in prayer, let him fall. And the time was right on Sunday, yesterday. I got him to Stones River, which is a Christian, Christ-centered rehab. Prayer warriors. It's all about, and they'll even say, rehabs are in business of, if the normal rehab, if it's not Christ-centered and transformational, okay? I don't believe a person can truly rehabilitate without a transformation and accepting Jesus Christ and surrendering. So it's a great, this pastor out there is doing it. I got him convinced to go out there. I had to sell him all the way. Oh, you're good. I knew he was tweaking. He's starting to sweat a little bit. And I get him out there, and we left him. And he had some detox medication we were supposed to give him. And you saw my wife. The director of the clinic goes, dude, we got to either get him to the hospital or your wife's got to find this detox. He's curled up in a ball. He's white, like blue, and it looks like demons came out. I said, he's not going to die, is he? He goes, no, but he's got to have this. He's so full of opioids and this and that. But he wanted to. I pray with him. And he's got this. He texts me. He's got his armor of God coin. He goes, I'm going to kick this. And he's got it. And he is going to kick it. So my wife coordinated, met the guy halfway. She found his meds in his car. Okay. I searched high and low because he told me where that, couldn't find him. And the director calls. He says they're in his center console. I go, you know what? let me call my wife, because my wife's a professional drug finder, okay? She has lots of experience, okay? So I call, I said, Stephanie, Bo said he left this and that and that. She goes, let me go out in the car and see. She goes, oh, it's right here, you idiots. I go, where? Where'd you find? It's called Suboxone, which is an opioid blocker. She goes, it wasn't in the center console, on the side thing there. With I go, you're amazing. So they had to go meet each other because he's curling the ball. They're going to take him to the hospital. So pray for him, because I know that God's got a handle on him. I've prayed with him. And his mom and dad could not get him to go into rehab for nothing in the world. And by me just loving him, praying with him, tell him about the armor, tell him it's not your fault. This is a stronghold that you can't beat by yourself, man. And I started watching some videos on this opioid stuff. They can't beat it. Once that gets in you, you can't physically, it's going to take a miracle or rehab or hospital. You're done. The enemy's in full blitz mode with this opioid epidemics. I've witnessed it now for this kid. So he's there now. He's probably got a Suboxone now. And praise, he calls me Uncle Mark. But pray for him, because I believe you're going to see a real testimony here that through the power of Jesus Christ. And he's, I already got him groomed. He said, I don't get up now without the armor of God. This and I said, good, you keep going. So I think we just keep building testimonies. Listen, man, just don't let nothing steal your joy. Life's too short. I'm sure a lot of you people have lost people. I'm losing friends and people like flies. I know where they're going. And it's our opportunity to witness to people. Like you said, how do you witness to them? I don't know. Mine's easy. I hand them a book and let the Holy Spirit do the job. But the other thing is get them to church. Let the pastor, let the Holy Spirit use the pastor. Man. I mean, we can't save anybody. I've learned that. We can't. Everybody tried to get me saved. All my sister, we can't save anybody. We can only plant that seed. The Holy Spirit's got to save them. You know, I tell everybody, if it wasn't for all those crazy Christians, I got saved a long time ago. You know, I've been with these great Christians. They're doing lines together. So, man, you really should think about going to church. I'm like, dude, you know? So, there we go. The last one.
Hi, Mark. Thank you for your time. It's
good. Yes.
I'm Jason. I just have one liner. As a Christian, one of my job is also to evangelize, spread the word of God to my neighbor. So I know how to talk to an addict or an atheist, because you know it's up in front of me.
Yep.
But when my neighbor is well-to-do in his finance, academy, things like that, like either a Hindu or a Buddhist who has his daily or weekly all these religious traditional activities, I get the chance to cross him like 5 or 10 seconds every morning or evening. So what is the one line you would meet a man of another faith? What is the one line that you can say if you are in my place?
Could you repeat that for me, Pastor? This is my old rock and roll days. My drum's 70% death.
Yeah, he was saying, what is the people of other faiths that I run into for 5 minutes every day, you know, my neighbor, whatever, what's the one thing you would say to them? What's the one phrase? How would you kind of try to connect with them?
Wow,
in that few moments?
Let me tell you something. Right? I really don't have an answer for that, but I do know this. God has definitely a calling on me, especially in Hollywood, with Jews, with the Jewish. And what I do is I get them to say, listen, we got the same Old Testament. Like, you're going to bless us? I go, yeah, I'll bless it Old Testament style. And then I get him to watch Lee Strobel's A Case for Christ. I've personally seen 3 pretty high-powered that are now Messianic Jews, because they're intelligent entertainment attorneys. They just don't believe that they believe the Messiah. They don't believe he's come yet. And if they've really investigated, like Lee Strobel, and saying, it's all right there. You know. So I don't know, like for Muslim or Hindu, there's Timothy. I'm lost on that. I wouldn't even know how to attempt it. You know, it's just not my calling. But it could obviously be yours, and maybe they could help you get that. Are we done?
We are done. All right, gentlemen. I it was funny when Mark pulled out his challenge coin, because I have a challenge coin in my pocket right here, the armor of God. I think it's helpful for me every day to walk around with the Armor of God challenge coin in my hand. Yep. $10 on Amazon. It's like really kind of a no-brainer from my perspective. Encourage you to walk out of your house kind of pondering the armor of God, as Mark encourages. Let me pray. Love it, man. Lord, thank you so much for your grace to us. Thank you for bringing Mark and Lord, his powerful story. I pray that we feel the men feel encouraged, and as they walk out here tonight, take one of his books with them, Lord, that they would consider it a challenge to spend 30 days with 30 minutes in prayer, 30 minutes in the Word through the help of this book, and then really build a pattern of giving you, Lord, the best start of their day by spending time with you. And when we are willing to take our time to do that, God, what you're going to do. I do pray that you would help us to consider all the different things that he's said, Father, that we would internalize them and that we would live differently because we've been here tonight. We pray in your name. Amen. All right, thank you guys for being here. Thank Mark for being here. And he's going to be sticking around. If anybody would like to chat with him, you're free to do that. And please don't forget to pick up a book on your way out.
All right.
All right, thanks.